My name is Steve and Joy. We're your international missionaries to Indonesia. And the first thing I want to do is just thank you. It's a time to be thankful this season is because of Jesus. But I want to thank you for your support through prayer. You guys are our lifeline. Without you praying, I tell you, I don't think I'd do what I would do. I sit going behind enemy lines. And so I just want to thank you for your prayers. We depend on it. We covet it. Without your prayers, we cannot do what we need to do. Also, thank you for giving to the cooperative program. Like Pete said, through Lottie Moon, we are taken care of, but there's always needs. And like you said, there's a lot of people that haven't even heard the good news of Jesus Christ. We serve in Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. We live on the island of Sumatra, and it's about the size, a little bit larger than California, with 45 million people on it. We have 52 unreached people groups. Those are a lot of people. It's 10,000 in a population. They haven't heard don't have the Bible in their language, and less than 1% are believers. And we have 10 that are even engaged. A lot of them even haven't even heard the good news of Jesus Christ. So I just want you to know there's a lot of lostness where we serve. There's a lot of darkness. But I tell you, the reason that we go is because we're just like you. We're saved by grace. We're regular people just trying to be obedient to God. And God's told us to go to Indonesia and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So I just thank you for your prayer and for your support. Now let's buckle up, okay? Because we've got to move and look at some scripture here. When I come back, I use my dad's study Bible because it's too heavy for me to bring my own. And I love to see his notes in it. He passed away about 11 years ago. He was my hero from a human standpoint. I just loved him a lot, missed his wisdom. But I love his study notes. And in his Bible, I found where he had explained to the church that he attended, he found out that he had cancer of the lung. And it was interesting to me that he explained a little bit what was going on in his life. And then he said, here's how we're going to combat it. And then he talked about the medical situation and then the chemo that he was going to use. And then he ended it by saying this. He said, my main weapon is prayer.
Amen.
The main weapon is prayer. I think sometimes you and I know for myself, I forget how important prayer is. I forget how important the power of prayer is, because prayer is communicating with the God that created the universe just by his word. And that's moving his hand in ways and so powerful that, you know, we should not be fearful because of who he is. But I think we're really lazy in this area, and a lot of times I think that's where Satan works. And making us a little bit lukewarm or not enthusiastic about prayer, because he knows and he trembles at the believer who's probably just a new believer who gets on his knees and prays. I want us to look at a prayer, because as we look at God's word this morning, I want you to see that what I'm doing in Indonesia and what God's telling me to do is something that we're supposed to be doing here in Tulalip, in Oklahoma, in the United States. His word is powerful.
Amen.
It's not dibatasi. It's not limited by boundaries, international boundaries, culture, tradition. This is what we go by. When I go to Indonesia, I go in the power of God, that resurrection power, but with his word. And this is what I teach. And I want you to look, as we look at this passage today, this is where I've been parked for a little while, in the letter of Colossians. But I want you to see how Paul prays. It's not a simple prayer, maybe like we do, and simple prayers are okay. But he's very specific in how he prays. And I want us to see that you and I can do so much in our lives if we get down to business and do a lot of praying. In his power and in his strength. In Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 2. through 6, and we're going to have to really push it. You guys, look at the whole context a little bit later on, but I'm going to read it in Indonesian so you can kind of have a feel of what the language sounds like. You follow along in your translation in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Here's what Paul says. Bertekunlah dalam doa dan dalam para itu berjaga-jagalah sambil mengucap syukur. Berdoalah juga untuk kami supaya Allah membuka pintu untuk pemberitaan kami, sehingga kami dapat berbicara tentang rahasia Kristus yang karenanya aku dipenjarakan. Dengan demikian aku dapat menyatakannya sebagaimana seharusnya. Hiduplah dengan penuh hikmat terhadap orang-orang luar. Pergunakanlah waktu yang ada. Hendaklah kata-katamu senantiasa penuh kasih. Jangan hambar, sehingga kamu tahu bagaimana kamu harus memberi jawab kepada setiap orang. Let's look at this real quick. The first thing we see is everyone can pray. Everyone must pray. He says in verse 2, devote yourself to prayer. This word devote means to hold fast, not to let go. Hold fast, don't let go. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he says what? Pray continually, pray without ceasing. Paul reminds us that prayer is one of the key weapons that you and I have in ministry. And if we're not using it, we better back up and reevaluate and get going in the prayer area. In prayer week, we're to be watchful, he says, keeping alert, and thankful. This is in this short little letter, this is the fifth time he talks about being thankful. And you know what? As believers in Jesus Christ, we should be the most thankful people around. Because of our salvation in Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in him, we should be so thankful. I don't care what your circumstances are, because of the hope that we have, we should be so thankful. And he reminds us over and over in this other, be thankful. Be thankful. Now, he's saying here, keep your minds and your hearts awake while praying. What happens a lot of time when we pray? Tell you the truth, I can fall asleep pretty easily. If I'm not really concentrating, I won't be alert. Next thing I know, I'm out. But he tells us here that we're to keep our hearts and our minds awake while we pray. And I think to be devoted in prayer, it requires something specific to pray about. Something specific to pray about. And he gives us what we need to do. He says, here is how I want you to pray for us. Here's how I want you to pray for me. And this is how I want you to pray for Joy and I. And hopefully this is the way you pray for each other. The first thing he says is that God will open a door for our message. It's all about Jesus. Man. You know what? If he's not working, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. If you don't see results, it's maybe because you're working on your own strength. God opens the doors. And you know what? He challenges us in this word, in his word, to pray that he will open doors. Do you think God wants him to open doors in a country that is Islamic? That is so dark? Yes, I believe it. Is he opening doors? Yes, he is. I think the problem is we need to ask God to open our spiritual eyes so that we can see the open doors that he's bringing our way. The problem is not with God. A lot of times the problem is with us. Often we're only around believers. You know, and that's not bad. But he's told us we're the light and the salt of the earth. If I go to Indonesia and I'm only around believers, and I am around believers because I am there to equip and train them, I'm not doing what he's also asking me to do. I am to get involved in unbelievers' lives. I'm to seek and to see opportunities. It's my job as a believer in Jesus Christ to be proactive in seeing where God is working. See the opportunities that he gives me. And to get into those doors that he has opened. Well, where can we look for open doors? Here's what we teach the guys in Indonesia, the nationals. It's the method of evangelism we call Tiga Saja. Three, any three. And we teach them that with this method of evangelism that fits in our context of Islam, we teach them that anytime, anywhere, or any place, or in any person, you can use this. And here's what we challenge them to do right off the bat. We challenge them to say, okay, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'd make them have a column that says family. And I say, write the names of your families in this column that are not believers in Jesus Christ. For them, that's pretty easy to do. Maybe for you, that's a little bit different. When I'm talking about not someone who just says they're a Christian, but you know that they're born again. That mom, that dad, that aunt, that uncle, that brother, that sister. And I say, put their names right there, and you begin to pray for them. And then I said, who are your friends that don't know Jesus Christ? And you're sure that they don't know Jesus Christ. Put their names in the next column under friends, and you begin to pray for them. And I say, then look at the third column. Thank you. I bring her to translate for me. And like Pete said, it's a good transition from him to me. And I say, who in your acquaintances do you know that are not believers? Now, folks, if you can't fill this in and out, I'd say you need a muluwaska, your pergaulan.
To make your circle of acquaintances larger.
That's right. Because if you guys don't have people that are non-believers that you're not relating to, something's wrong. We're not doing what God has called us to do. And I say, begin praying for these people, your family, your friends, and your acquaintances. And as God speaks to you and tells you to go talk to this person, you do it just then. Don't tarry. Don't wait. You be obedient immediately because that person needs Jesus. There's a guy that we taught this seminar to by the name of Roy. And Roy on our island is in an area where there's an unreached people group who are very resistant. In this province, this is where Muslim, the religion of Islam, came into Indonesia through this province. And they're very fanatical. They have Sharia law. He goes back to this very fanatical province and he puts into practice what he's been taught. He shares Jesus. And you know what? Someone comes to faith. Believe it or not, somebody comes to faith. And so he begins to disciple. Well, others hear about it in their village. And the villagers and the chief villagers don't like that. You know what they do with this guy, Roy? They throw him in jail. They throw him in jail. And the word gets spread through the media. The media gets a hold of this because they're in Sharia law. And man, they want everybody to know this is what's going to happen when you come to our province and you share Jesus Christ. We're going to throw you in jail. So they're proud of that. But you know what happened? God used that for good. And one police officer came to Roy and he said to him, it's because of you that now everybody in our province knows about Isa al-Masih. They're curious to who Jesus Christ is now. Because God used something that looked difficult. And it was a challenging situation for Roy. But God brought good out of it because he's in control. And because Roy was obedient to do what God asked him to do. Like Paul, you know, Roy was in prison. And that's what Paul says here. He says, the reason that he's in prison and that he's in the chains is because of the mystery of Christ. Faithfully sharing the gospel. But Roy took that opportunity. God gave him an open door in difficult circumstances, and God used him in a mighty way. There's consequences for sharing your faith. I'm going to shoot straight with you. You can be thrown in jail. In our area where we serve, you can get killed, get kicked out of your family, your tribe. There's a lot of consequences, and there's even death, like I said. And I asked our guys occasionally, I said, are you guys really, really ready to die for Christ? I think when we can answer that question in accordance to the way God wants us to be willing to die for Him, just like He died for us, that solves a lot of problems and we'll have a passion to share the gospel like He wants to do. Are you ready to die for Jesus? It's a reality where we are. We don't have the freedom of religion like we have here in the United States. But don't fool yourself, America. Your freedom is being taken away from you, and we're kind of blinded to it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right. Wake up. Our government needs Jesus. Our country needs Jesus. Here's how we're to pray. God will open the door for a message. And he says, what does he say? He said, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. I heard a definition of evangelism that I like. It's getting close to God, getting close to people, and getting people close to God. It starts with us. Our relationship with God is the key. And then it comes to, are we getting involved in our community? Are we getting involved where we're working? Do people at work know that we're believers? Do our neighbor know we're believers? Does our mom and dad know we're believers? And then it's getting those people close to God through the relationship with Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 3 through 5. And I'm just going to quickly go through that. Paul says there, and he makes it, this is the gospel in a nutshell. He says, the gospel is that Jesus Christ died. Just like the scripture said. He was buried. And 3 days after that, he rose from the dead. Just like scripture says. And then he appeared to witnesses. Over 500 at one time. The gospel is us telling others what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, you and I are to proclaim as clearly as we could and as we can what the gospel is to others. What the gospel is to others. Because I think a lot of people don't know what they believe. And we need to make sure that they understand the consequences of not knowing Jesus Christ. There's a guy that I go to. He's a barber. He's from a fanatical, unreached people group. And I was asking him as he cut my hair and shaved me. So it was a risk. You know, he could always cut my throat, I guess. You know, but we're to be obedient. And so I took the opportunity because it was Eid al-Adha, one of their important holidays. It was a sacrifice day for them. And I asked him, well, what does that mean to you? The day of sacrifice for you. And he looked at me and he kind of thought a little bit. And he says, well, we get meat for the day. I said, that's what you're taking away from Eid al-Adha? And I explained to him why he had this holiday. He didn't really know. And I explained to him in the Old Testament we see where God had the people of Israel take a lamb. Or a cow and they that was without blemish, and they would kill that animal. Because what? We see without the shedding of blood, there is no what? There's no forgiveness of sin in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says. And so I said, what you guys do all the time is that every year, you guys will take a lamb or a goat or a cow and you'll cut it. And that blood has to what? Has to come out of the animal, because if it doesn't have any blood, it dies. And I said, you know what else happens? That goat or that cow takes your place. It takes your place. There's a substitute for you. But I don't leave him there. Where do I take him? To the perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I said, but you know what? I believe that God sent Jesus. He lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross. He shed his blood for me and for you. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And you know what? I'm the one that deserved the cross. But he took my place. Praise God.
Amen.
And because of my belief in Jesus, and because he died and he rose again, that resurrection power is now in me as his child, and I have a hope, and I know that my sins are taken care of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I don't have to worry about my sins like you do. And he's given me a promise and a hope for the future that is unbelievable. You know, my barber didn't believe Jesus, but he did cut my throat. Thank the Lord. But you know what I do now? I tell him another sacrifice story. Adam and Eve. Another sacrifice story. Well, Abraham. Moses. And I always bring him to the perfect sacrifice, which is who? Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus come into him? Remember that? The Lamb of God. That what? That takes away the sins of the earth. Well, he's been called the Son of God many times, but why call him what? The Lamb of God. Because the Lamb is a sacrificial animal. And John the Baptist was pointing to the future. Here he is. This is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth. In our area, we have to share the gospel about 18 times before a person comes to faith. You know what that means? We've got to share a lot. We've got to share a lot. If you don't sow the seed, you're not going to get a harvest. And you know, if you look at the parable of the soils, how many good soils do you see in that parable? One. Of the four soils, only one is good. And you know what we tell our guys? You know how you know if it's good soil or not? Share the gospel. If you believe it's good soil. If not, keep on praying for them. But let's move on and find somebody else. And keep praying for that individual. And folks, that's what we got to do here. If we don't sow the seed, we're never going to see a harvest. And that's your responsibility, and that is my responsibility. And Paul says, Lord, help me to share the gospel clearly. If I've ever thought there's a better evangelist than anybody else, it's the Apostle Paul. But here's what he asked. God, I'm praying that you what? Open doors for me. Let me see them. And when you open those doors for me, help me to be faithful to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those that you bring my way. Are you praying like that? I hope you pray for me that way. And then the last thing. He says, be wise towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Who are the outsiders? Those who don't know Jesus. He says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. The word opportunity says make the most of every opportunity. It's an economic term. It means this. Buy up the opportunities while you can. Buy up the opportunities while you can. He talks about our conduct. He talks about our actions. And then he talks about what? Our conversation in verse 5. So our conduct and our conversation have to go hand in hand. Our conversation, guys, and our conduct have to go hand in hand. It's easy to talk the talk. But he says we've got to talk it, but also walk it. More often we're concerned with gossip instead of the gospel. And we've got to be more concerned with the gospel. My neighbor, Pat Saki, is strong in his faith. His lineage is through one of the kings. He is pretty fanatical in his faith in Islam. He lives right next door to me. He's a nice guy, and he told me the other day, he said, man, you're different. I said, how's that? He said, man, just the way you act and what you say. He says, I want you, if you don't mind, to take my three kids and teach them conversational English. You don't trust your kids just to anybody. He knows I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. He knows my faith. We've talked. But, you know, we have to make an impact where we're at. What are your neighbors seeing in your life? Do you even know their names? You know how many kids they have? You know what they're challenged with or struggling with? Our faith has to be put into practice, and that's a daily walk with Jesus. You know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's not a suggestion. He said, but you are to be my witnesses. It's a command. You start in your Jerusalem, in Talala, and then all of Judea, which may be Oklahoma. I'm not sure where your Samaria is, but it's in the United States, but it also says to the ends of the earth. Folks, we have a task, and we need to remember that it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And guys, it's not if we're going to engage, but where are we going to engage the lost? Missions isn't a trip. Missions is a lifestyle.
Amen.
Missions isn't just going to Nepal. That's great. But it's what you do in Nepal. Are you sharing Jesus in Nepal? That's the bottom line. It's a lifestyle. And we start in our own Jerusalem. Because if you're not doing it here, there's a good chance if you come overseas, you're not going to do it over there. We start at home with the people we love. And we share faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got to close with this. I came home from a church meeting. We work with Baptist churches. You guys know all about meetings. Right, Brother Lester? And afterwards, what do Baptists do? We eat. You know? And they gave me what we call a nasi bungkus. It's a rice meal wrapped up in banana leaves. And it'd been a long meeting, and so they asked me to stay and give advice, and so I did. And then after they said, I'm going to be excused. I'm just going to go on. I took my nasi bungkus and went home because I had other things I had to do. And on the way home, I stopped at a light, and it was a light that was pretty long. And so I sat there, and I saw this little paper boy, about 10 years old, coming up the cars up in front of me. I said, oh, what do I do? Give him money, buy a paper. The Holy Spirit said, hey, you got your nasi bungkus. He came to the window, handed in my nasi bungkus, my meal. He looked at me. And he said, thank you. I haven't eaten all day. Thank you, mister. Thank you, Papa. And he took that. And I saw him as he kept on looking at me and thanking me as he ran up. He went up. I couldn't see where he went. And then a little while longer, as I was waiting for the light, I saw him go down an alley. And then a little while later, I saw him come back. And I was, what is that kid doing? He had two little plastic and he had water in them. And as the traffic moved up, I was able to see what he had done. He had a little buddy. I don't know if it was his brother or not, but it was younger than him. He was selling paper too. And he sat down by the ditch. They opened that up right there with their water. And with that meal, they started eating it together. Man, I had compassion. My heart broke. And I wanted to get out and say, get in my truck, boys. I'm going to take care of you. But you know what? When I see someone who's blind, boy, I have compassion for them. Because they don't get to see the things that I see. But do you know what? There's a lot of spiritual blindness all around us. Right. And it's like we don't even give a hoot.
Yeah.
Where's our compassion for the lost? What are we doing? Those people who die, when there's a funeral in our area, there's a high percentage that soul died and is damned because of his sin. And he's going to a fiery hell. Where's the compassion? Do I care? Do you care? What are we going to do about it? Well, God tells us that we're to be his witnesses. And that's what he's called us to do. A guy by the name of J.D. Greer, where my three kids go to his church. I'm reading his book, The Gospel. And this is what he said. Listen to this real quick. He said, Jesus did not come to make slight alterations to our lifestyle. He called us to live for a complete different kingdom.
Amen.
Why are you living for that kingdom? This week, Lottie Moon Week, we're reminded that where Jesus is what? Where his heart, where his hands, and where his voice. What are you going to do? Look at the three basic principles from this passage, okay? Prayer is a powerful weapon. We need to be praying. That's the biblical principle we get from this passage. Second, sharing the gospel is every believer's responsibility.
Amen.
Every responsibility. Brother Lester, yes. Steve Sanders, yes. But you too as his children. And third, our conduct and our conversation must go hand in hand. That's the biblical principles. What do you do with your biblical principles? You apply them. How are you going to apply these biblical principles in your life? Don't leave them up here. That's head knowledge. If it doesn't change the heart and change our life, it's just head knowledge. And Jesus was really hard on the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Would he be hard on us? It's going to change our life. Here's a couple of applications. Always remember and thank God for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. I think if we remember that daily, we'll have a passion for sharing the gospel that won't go down. We'll be on fire all the time. When was the last time you shared a witness of who Jesus is in your life? I'm not here to get you down, just to remind you. Thank the Lord we can ask for repentance and say, forgive me, Lord. I want to start afresh. He's a loving and forgiving God. Pray for harvesters. I mean, we live on the island of Sumatra, 45 million folks. In our province of Riau, there's 4 million folks. We have 3 IMB personnel. That means that we each have 1 million people plus. Give me a break. Where is everybody going? Is everybody being obedient or not? We need help. Pray for harvesters. And how can I get involved in missions? Pray. Pray. Remember, missions is a lifestyle. Pray for yourself. Pray for us. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for that pastor who's in prison because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Who's being called? We're all called. We're all to go. Whether that's in Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria, or the ends of the earth. We sure need help on the ends of the earth part. I can't believe how many churches I passed just on 169 coming up here. That's like what we have in our country. We've got Muslim places of worship. A mosque. Just like that, if not more. Give sacrificially. What are you doing with your life? How are you using your resources? Are you using them to bring people into God's kingdom? And remember where Jesus' heart, where his hand, for his voice. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for our salvation. And Lord, I just pray that you will remind us that Jesus is the reason for the season, and with all the distractions that Satan brings our way, help us to stay focused on the main thing. Help us to learn how to pray as you would want us to pray, and to pray specifically. Help us to remember that we're all called to go. Help us to remember that our walk and our talk have to go hand in hand. Well, I just pray that we'll learn to pray for one another like Paul asked us to pray for him. And Lord, I just pray that this church will continue to be mission-minded and see what they can do even more and more in their Jerusalem, in their Judea, in their Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And I just pray that you will convict our hearts. And as you convict our hearts, as your Holy Spirit speaks, we'll be obedient. Immediate obedience is what pleases you. Because you're our Father, you're our Savior, and you're our Lord. We just pray you speak to us through this time. In Jesus' name, amen.